Now, once again, I'm delighted to welcome Francis Clapp, who's going to take a nostalgic look at the Billericay High Street of the 1950s, aren't you, Francis?
Yes, I am.
Now, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I guess that most decades, there's quite a difference between the High Street, say, in 1950, than the High Street in 1959. But whether that's true in every decade, I don't know.
I think it probably is. Mm. Things move now at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
I think it was probably slower in the past. But certainly looking at Brentwood High Street now, the changes have been tremendous over the last few years.
I get the impression that maybe 50 to 59 and maybe 60 to 69 were the two decades that it might have changed more than the others. Because some of them are much more cosmetic, but perhaps I'm wrong.
Yes, this is possibly partly that rationing had ended.
Yes, of course.
And that obviously made a big difference, especially to things like clothes shops.
Yes. Well, come on then. Take us down this nostalgic trip down the High Street.
Right. Well, some of you may still remember Billericay High Street in the early 1950s. War was a thing of the past, but it took time for everything to return to normal. Subsidised orange juice and cod liver oil were still available for children, and these could be collected from an office close to some corner. But most children preferred jars of cod liver oil and malt, which could be taken on a spoon or even spread on bread and butter, or more likely, margarine. I can still remember my grandmother mixing her small butter allowance with the margarine, and we were allowed to help, but it was very stiff to actually get the two mixed together. She reckoned it went further. Moving further along the High Street was Cramphorns, where seeds were available for use on the many allotments that had been dug during the war. The unique smell in the Cramphorn shops is something that can still conjure up memories of childhood. Some animal food was also sold, including multicoloured dog biscuits stored in sacks. And I think it's probably the smell of the sacks that one remembers more than anything else. Yet further along the road was Gottis the baker's. Cakes and buns were available, a real treat after the years of wartime austerity. However, once again it was the smell, this time of newly baked bread, that spilled into the High Street and enticed customers through the door. No description of a High Street can be complete without a visit to a sweet shop. After the war, sweet rationing continued for quite some time, and such luxuries had been rarely available in the dark days leading up to 1945. Magazines were also in the shop, and there was a strong smell of tobacco, sold for use in pipes or in cigarettes because people could roll their own. Sweets in those days were often sold from large glass jars, with your choice weighed out on sturdy scales. Yellow sherbet lemons were always attractive, as were dolly mixtures and jelly babies. And I wonder how many of you remember gobstoppers that seemed to last forever. Goodspeed's was the fish shop, just off the High Street, behind the church of St Mary Magdalene. Here there was a grass-like green-covered table on which the fresh fish was displayed. The table was tiered so that even the fish at the back could be easily seen. However, from a child's point of view, eyes were always drawn to a giant stuffed fish in a glass case on the tiled wall. Its mouth was open and its eyes glazed, quite enough to give an imaginative child nightmares. There were many other shops in the High Street that could bring back memories, but I've run out of time, so that must wait until another day.
Well, thanks very much, Francis. I think one of the things that I remember was the butcher shops that used to hang a lot of the hares, or at Christmas time there'd be turkeys hanging outside.
Yes.
I don't know what the health and safety would say about that these days.
Well, I doubt if they'd like it very much. But I mean, there were some things. I think if you hang pheasants, it's supposed to taste much better afterwards.
Yeah, probably not hanging them outside the shop though.
Well, no. Mind you, you still go into some bakers where there are free buns and rolls displayed low down where anyone can sneeze over them.
Well, I always remember that the on the greengrocers, well, apart from the fact, of course, you could only get whatever happened to be in season, the main thing is that they always had the good stuff at the front. But if you tried to say, I want that one, they always went to the back. And my grandmother had a huge row with one of them when they gave her a rather moth-eaten looking lettuce, and she said it wasn't fit for a tortoise.
Oh, I like that. You can imagine the tortoise sniffing and sneaking off.
Well, she said it in a very loud voice, and there was a lot of kerfuffle over it.
Brave lady.
Anyway, what have you got lined up for us next time?
Right. Now, next time, we're going to have a look at the Chaplain's House in Brentwood.
The Chaplain's House in Brentwood?
Yes.
Have you got a year for me?
Well, now, let's see. It was in 1221, in the reign of Henry III, that the chapel was built. So there must have been a house sometime after that.
Right.
But it goes back quite a long way.
Good stuff. We shall see what that's all about next week. Thank you again.